The lesson I'd like to share with you all today is the Divine Liturgy. I learned a lot preparing this. The source I got is from actually the pre-sermon classes a few years back. I guess the first class that was presented. Oh, you can't hear? Sorry. Sure, no, I can talk louder. Can you hear me now? Yeah? Okay, sorry. And then another book that I found had a lot of information is Abuna Athanasius Iskander. He has a book, the library has it. It's called Understanding the Divine Liturgy. It explains it in detail, like really, really good detail of the meanings and the symbols in our Divine Liturgy. I'll go really quickly because it's going to take like hours and hours. A lot of this is review, the preparatory activities we do before we come to liturgy is, of course, we have to repent, confess, make sure we're ready spiritually. And the psalm that we recite on the way to church is the Psalm 122, I was glad when they said to me, let's go into the house of the Lord. And the liturgy itself actually starts, as we all know, not Sunday morning, but actually starts Saturday night with Vespers, with doxologies, raising incense, and then continues on with the midnight praises, and then continues on to the next day with the morning raising incense, which is the matins. And again, just quickly, the structure of the Divine Liturgy, we can trace it back to the Apostles' time, from Acts 2, verse 42, and they continue steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayer. So that's the main key verse that we can trace it back to. So how did the apostles develop the structure of the liturgy that we know today? We'll see that, as we know, they gather for the breaking of the bread 40 days after the Lord resurrected. But they also based the liturgy on the special words that the Lord used during Good Thursday, where he instituted the Last Supper. And what are those words? We can find them in St. John's Gospel, chapter 13 to 17. This is where, these few chapters, the Lord explains the mystery, the new mystery, which is the new covenant, the body and blood, how it gives eternal life and all that. And then in chapter 6, this is a very condensed version, very precise, accurate words that the Lord uses and that we use today for our liturgy. So we'll look at some of it. John 6, verse 50. This is the bread of life which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. And can someone read the next verse for me? And the next one, Marina? Right. You can see he keeps reiterating. It's a very, very clear message. Again, whoever eats my flesh, drinks my blood, has eternal life. I will raise him up on the last day. So he promises eternal life to those who eat his body and blood. And then verse 55, is my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. And then verse 56, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me and I in him. So he is reiterating the same message over and over again. So we really can't miss the message of the liturgy, why it's so important. In the Divine Liturgy, there's four main elements. The first one is the Apostles' Doctrine, which I'll go in a bit of detail later on, which is the teachings where you have the readings. Second part is Apostles' Fellowship. The third one is Breaking of Bread. And the last one is just prayers. First one is Apostles' Doctrine, which is the teachings. And as we all know, we have the readings, Pauline epistles, Catholic Acts, Synaxarian, Psalms, and Gospels. And then the second one is fellowship. There's two parts in this fellowship, which is the agape meal, which we all have together downstairs after the liturgy. And then the distribution, the orbana, which is the consecrated bread that was not chosen as the for the lamb, for the liturgy itself. So it's the remaining part of those or bond pieces. And then, of course, communion itself. And then prayers. This is throughout, you know, that starts from Vespers. It continues throughout morning, the matins, and then throughout the liturgy, our wonderful deacons. Okay. So now I'm going to start and go into the details of how the liturgy begins, the preparation, the altar itself, all the vessels, you see the veils and everything is going to be untied. What do you call those? Like the vessels were wrapped up from the day before. Yeah, so you untie them. And then the bunas blesses all the tonyas. They get the deacons and the bunas get dressed, and then we have the ishbeya, and then the hand washing, and then the creed. Now let's do the hand washing first. We do it two times, doing the offertory, which is when the bread is starting to be offered at the very beginning of the liturgy, and at the kiss of peace. Any guesses why we wash hands? It's symbolic, of course, like, you know, it's not. Any guesses? So first reason prepares the priest spiritually to approach the altar, right? And then the second time, and the second reason is it's warning those who are approaching the altar who's not prepared, beware, because there is consequences, serious consequences, if you're not prepared and you're approaching and taking the Lord's body. And the next part is choosing the lamb. Why, as you could see, the priest or bishop, yeah.
Sorry, it's not a full question, yeah. You might have a lot of questions.
Yeah.
but, okay, so we saw the picture that the bishop, so the deacons were kind of pouring water on the patriarchs.
Yes, yeah.
To wash the hands, but the priests have, is it the same way that they wash their hands?
Sayyidina was really tired. He couldn't walk to the washing station, but... Maybe Abuna can answer that. I think he was really tired. He was sitting throughout the liturgy when it wasn't required that he stood up. So the water was brought to him. Yeah, it's usually the inner corner. I'm not sure if you're standing out here, you could see them, like it's further in. And then a deacon would pour water and then he would wash it with soap. It's the same way. Okay, my next question is, why do you have to choose a lamb without blemish? And you could see that Abuna's always looking through the different bread pieces and choosing. Right, that's right. Christ is perfect. In Hebrews, St. Paul says, it's Christ's own blood. He entered once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So it's proof that it's Christ's body that he offered, so it has to be perfect. Just a quick review of the bread offering, the actual piece of Arbonne itself. Actually, before I give you the answers, you guys know why it's round? Yeah, because God is eternal. How many crosses do you see?
12.
Yeah, it represents 12 apostles. There's a big cross in the middle. That's pretty obvious. That's Christ. Do you know what's written around? Right. Right, and what does that mean? You were at the pre-servants class, weren't you, when this was given? Yeah. And do we put sugar in it? Why not? It's flour and water. Do we have yeast? Yes. But yeast represents sin. Why do we put yeast in there? Yeah, but spiritually, why? Why do we put sin in the Lord's perfect body? He he carries our sin. That's right. He carries our sin to the cross and put to death our sin. We don't put sugar because sugar represents the pleasures of life. We don't put salt because salt is a preservative. It keeps things from incorruption. The Lord doesn't need that. He is perfect. He is incorrupt, right? So we went through all this. Oh, yeah, the five holes. Of course, the five wounds of Christ. Do you know where the wounds are? Two hands, two feet, and the right side, right? So it's five holes. We do abuna, right? You finish the whole bread.
Yeah, we have to.
Yeah, yeah.
How whole bread is different than the other church? I'm not sure that we have like to, yeah, to keep some of them inside us.
Oh, yeah.
In Coptic Orthodox Church, in Coptic Orthodox, no way we have
yeah.
to. Sorry, it's not to have to two hands.
Yeah. Hands. The two nails and the two feet?
No, only one nail.
But there's two holes.
No.
Oh, okay. Crown of Thorns?
Yeah, crown of thorns.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Thank you, Abuna.
Only one, yeah. Only one. It's one nail alone for the Shemara. Sorry?
Pictures?
No, it's wrong one. I don't care about it. It's a horror.
It was red? Yeah. And by the way, do you know where the Agios Oseos comes from? Traditionally, yeah. Not the meaning, but traditionally where it comes from. It's actually interesting. It's a church tradition that the Joseph and Nicodemus were taking the Lord's body to bury. And then they were just having doubts, like, look at this Savior. He's supposed to save us, and here we are carrying his dead body. And then an angel appeared, and they were chanting this as they were carrying his body away. So it lifted their hope, lifted their spirit. So they started chanting with the angels as well. So that's, and we maintain it in our liturgy. Procession of the Lamb. This was just yesterday, Abuna.
Yeah. I wondered yesterday why
you were doing that. Why was doing that? So anyways, I'll just... So, sorry, any guesses why we're doing this? why is Abuna going, and what the meaning is behind around the altar?
He's the God of north, south, east, and west. Like he's the God of everything.
Oh, sorry, you can tone it down. It has something to do with Nicodemus and Joseph. Does that give you a hint? After the Lord's body was taken down from the cross, they wrapped it and they carried it to the tomb. So that's what it means. It's carrying the body of our Lord to lay in the tomb by Joseph and Nicodemus. So the Lord and the deacons represent, you know, those two figures. So, any guesses what this means? The Lord's
burial.
That's right, the burial, and the big cloth that's covering the Lord's body and everything is called a proserpine. And at this point, we're proclaiming Christ's death and burial.
What's the triangle?
Yeah, I'm gonna go through that. Abuna, anytime please correct me or jump in because I'm very limited in what I read and presenting, so please feel free. So I'll go through quickly some of the symbols on the altar. The altar itself, as we know, it represents the tomb. The pattern, which is the silver tray, is the cart that carried away our Lord's body. It's used to, in the old days to carry it to the actual grave or where they're going to put the body in. And then the veil under the bread represents the burial cloth that the Lord's body is wrapped in. The asterisk, this I didn't know, it's called asterisk. It's literally the cross above the body is the four hands of Joseph and Nicodemus carrying the body of Christ. Is that right, Abuna? No, it's not it?
No.
Oh, okay.
There is a lot of meditation
okay.
on all of this. Okay, because, for example, you know what? When you do that, for example, I took, for example, some water on my hand and bathed all the bread.
Yeah.
At first, it's said like this is the baptism of the bread.
Yes.
This is one meditation. Problem that it's okay. not correct 100%. Why? Because the problem that
blemish.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's why
thank you.
For this one, it's only to keep, okay, sometimes it's say like this is the town or this is the church, or this is the cross of the church.
Okay. The veil covering the bread symbolizes the cloth on head and the head and face of Christ. And then, of course, we already talked about the big cloth. That represents a large stone that closed the tomb. And then the smaller triangular veil that the Abuna puts on top at the very last bit of the all that is the seal on the stone, right? Because when they buried him, the Roman people put a seal on it that way. You know, they know if it's going to be broken or to steal the body and all that. Offering of incense. Any ideas on the symbolism of it, why we do it? Sorry? It lifts up our prayers, yeah. It has so much meaning that we probably don't have all the time to go through it. But yeah, one of the meaning is to lifts up our prayers. Basically, God instructed, this has its roots in the Old Testament. God instructed Aaron to offer incense morning and evening incense, so at least twice a day, and like mainly for sacrifice, right, Abuna? And when they have their worship. So the Old Testament was a shadow of Christ's perfect sacrifice. And that's why we do it now, because we're emulating and remembering, reliving Christ's eternal and perfect sacrifice in the New Testament today. And that's why we keep up with incense.
Yeah, every time I offer incense, it's different meaning. For example, when I offer incense, for example, it's a litany of departure.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, from one to one.
Yeah.
The main idea is only for the instance. All our prayers.
Yeah, that's what it's saying.
Yeah.
Yeah. So our prayers are being lifted up. It's
yeah.
To heaven. Yeah. Now we have. I'll just go quickly through this part. Of course, we know the readings, and we go through the creed, reconciliation, where we have the kiss of peace. And then the liturgy of the faithful. This is this part is reenacting the Lord's the steps that the Lord took, leading right up to the Last Supper. Now, anaphora. This is the part where the proserpine is lifted. Any guesses what this means symbolically? If putting on the proserpine symbolizes bearing the Lord, lifting it symbolizes his resurrection. That's right, yeah. and it symbolizes the angel rolling away the stone of the tomb. And the paten now, and the altar no longer is a scene of death, but it's a scene of resurrection and rejoice. So it's changed completely from the beginning to now. Now the invocation of the Holy Spirit. This is the part where Abuna kneels, and he's asking for the Holy Spirit to sanctify the gifts and the people as well, so that we're ready, we're worthy to, or cleanses us to take Holy Communion, and also the Holy Spirit now will sanctify the gifts and literally changing them into the body and blood of Christ. Our Coptic Church doesn't believe in the change physically. It's a mystical thing, so you actually don't see the wine as blood and the bread as flesh. So it's a mystical transformation. And then we have all the litanies that Abuna mentioned, where he will offer, like, using the incense again. Then we have the commemoration of the saints, the synaxar, and then intercession of the departed. Apparently I was told that after the invocation of the Holy Spirit, Abuna, like all these prayers now, the Lord is there to hear our prayers. So this is the quickest way for your prayers to be heard. Because the Lord is here now.
The Lord now exists now after the receiving of the Holy Spirit and the transfiguration now and transferred now from the time we are asking God to transfer. I said this word. We got transferred this bread to be your body and transfer this wine to be your body. And now the
You move to the one side and then
because
the Lord is now.
Yes, I'm not saying I'm not saying for by myself. No, I let Jesus Christ who give the peace to all the people. That's why this is your job now. Not me.
Yeah.
I will resist now.
Then we have the fraction and the confession. And then the last part, which is Holy Communion. Okay. And that's it. Okay. Any questions? Abuna's right there.
Okay, now the holy body is existing. Jesus Christ now is existing on the altar. And when I said Irini Pasi, I make it like this. I open the way to Jesus Christ to give the blessing and peace to other people. That's why I make it like this. This is your job, not my job. Yeah, this is what I said. What I have to do? Yeah, this is what I said. I say by my tongue only, Irini Pasi. But this is, I ask him to do it. Okay, good with your people, not myself. That's why I make it. Okay, go on. This is what I'm doing. That's why. Maybe after we do more in the liturgy.
Communion to the deacons.
Yeah.
Before you go to the men's side,
yeah,
you circle the altar only twice, and we all say, "Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Why twice, not three times?
Twice when? No, it's only once. So only once. I do.
Once?
I do. No. I do once only because I have to go. No, I have to go to that side.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
That's it. Only.
That's it. Okay.
It's only once time. No.
Okay.
Yeah, this is not, I make it twice. This is what I'm doing, but half and half. Because this is what Jesus Christ gives, like, the blessing to all the world. This is only now that Jesus Christ, now I hold my Jesus Christ on my hand. And when I took like this, I make it, okay, I go one side from here to the other side and go back again to the other side, which is all the world.
And then you have to go this way.
Yeah. Right? Said to the angel to eat, okay, and give a blessing to all the people. But I'm going to the altar. In my hand now I have the whole body. Okay, finished. And I took again the blessing of the altar and put all the water and blessing on the people. It's not the blessing of the water. In the blessing of the water, it's blessed already from the altar, and the altar is blessed from the holy body. And now I take this water and bless all the people. That's it. Thanks. There's a lot of things I know inside the liturgy. It's hidden. It's hidden. No, really, it's so totally hidden. Also, I have a lot of silent, you can say silent prayers. No one knew about it. No one knew. Yeah, if you really can. But you have to understand what it is. Yeah. You know what? When I prepare myself inside, I have to, a lot of prayers, I have to do it to prepare myself before going to serve in the altar. And first, or the famous sentence, I'm said to God, I'm not ready, I'm not ready, I'm not ready. I'm not ready. Like this. And this is your job. This is your job. It's not my job. Yeah, I'm not ready. I'm a sinner. This is why I have blamed him all the time. Yeah.
As a priest, you represent Christ.
Yeah. Inside the whole. Okay. It's a part of from the part. In the liturgy, when I said he took the bread on his hand, and I took the bread on my hand, I'm doing just as what Christ did before. This is exactly why I did like it. And one time happened before, one priest said to Jesus Christ when we say and he broke it. The problem that this priest asked Jesus Christ, and he said to him, it's not my job to broke this bread. You did it before. It's not my job. You have to do it. I cannot do it. I cannot make broke this bread. And he closed his eyes, and he put his hand on the bread, okay, and he was praying. He continued without broke his bread. He took on his hand and he broke the bread, and after he opened his eyes, what he found? This is not our job. That's why when we did, it's too hard. The first time when I'm offering the sacrifice in the monastery, I don't know, I can't explain my feeling, but I was scared. And the monk beside me was the monk, okay? When I put the bread on my hand, okay? And I feel like I'm terrible, I'm in trouble now. And he said to me, continue, and with loud voice, continue. He knows very well that if I think only for 1 second, this is not my job, and this is Jesus Christ, what he has to do it, I will stop everything. That's why he told me like bizarre, okay, going. And I was surprised. I never caught him because I'm afraid. I'm from him. I'm always scared from him. Ah, yeah, okay, okay. Okay, keep it. Okay, I'll caught him. That's why. And after he told me, okay, you have the thing, but no stop. You know very well, this is Jesus Christ. Yeah. That's why, in the monasteries, you know that there is a lot of barber, for example. Okay, going to a monastery, they need to kill the monks. They have a small, under the monastery, they have a place to finish the liturgy and to eat all the bread, the whole body. It's very important.
I thought they had like a tower that they, it's like the tower that has a
this
bridge.
Is, yeah, the tower, yeah, its name has, yeah, the tower only exists because if they don't want to to steal a life, this is very important because they have a lot of things inside, food, a lot of things, not only, and a small church, chapel under the name of Archangel Michael. This thing, yeah, for safety. Alone, you know, we have 2-3 people. Yeah, I cannot do it without. I can start alone, but after a while, for example, in Matins, okay. But after a while, if I try to, okay, if I put the wine, okay, I have to find 2 people. I have to find 2 people. Without 2 people, I stop the liturgy. I cannot do it. Yeah, one of them for sure. Yeah, should be a deacon. Yeah, to help me. Yeah, one deacon, one from the congregation. I cannot do it by myself. For example, I go inside and, okay, I am alone today, guys. No. Yeah, but it's hard. You know what, in Ukrainian and Russian church, it's more difficult and hard than our church. If we say like a Catholic church is very hard, no way. No, there is more hard and difficult than us. Yeah. Yeah, more fasting, there are more rules. Yeah, more rules, yeah, more than Coptic Church. When Pope Tawdros went to Russia, okay, he was surprised. He was surprised when he came back. Oh, wow. This is more Orthodox than us. Yeah, really. He said like that, they are more Orthodox than us. That's why. Yes.
three people because they have to, yeah, this is a service of the liturgy. For example, why Abuna do for anything, do the liturgy for who? For himself? A deacon? No, one deacon only cannot. We have also, there is a deacon for service in the altar, and one congregation at least, because we do this service for the congregation, not only for a deacon, not only for Abuna, or not only, and also for the congregation. That's why one presents, yes, one presents the congregation, one presents the deacon, and a priest. There is a lot in the liturgy. Yep. Gabriel from Montreal. From Montreal, yeah. Because you are always not here. This is the problem. You are always not here. Okay. You know what? You can come. Okay. For Father Gabriel, you can come with Father Gabriel and come back to Montreal.
I can't.
For girls, don't look to them. No. Don't look to them.
Of Saint Mary, Saint Paul, Saint Anthony, Saint Mark, and Pope Carolus, make us worthy praying thankfully, Our Father, art in heaven, and low be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth and heaven. Amen. 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 Amen.